I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Ladies and gentlemen, August Donnelly.
That is correct. I am August Donnelly, and despite the time away from the mic, much like Patti LaBelle and Paul Rubens, I'm holding my own. First and foremost, a very happy new year to all, and welcome once again to another edition of Full Frontal right here on CHRW 94.9 FM. I have to admit, after a month's hiatus due to the holiday season, it's good to be back in stand and deliver mode. Actually, until recently, I was sporting a beard that was fit for a marooned FedEx employee and consuming a diet fit for a ferret. So thank you to my beloved listeners for once again giving me a reason to wake up each day and accomplish productive tasks like bathing, brushing my teeth. That's about it. Baby steps, baby steps. However, we've only got a half an hour, so let's get down to business. First off, some listener email that I've received recently. I'm going to make a conscious effort to read a couple of these on each show, say one complimentary and one defamatory, or two and two, you get the idea. These come in through both my CHRW radio email address, which is august@chrwradio.com, and from my website's email contact, which is august@augustdonnelly.com. So, first off, Lisa and her boyfriend from London write, August, we listen to your show fairly often, as it is on while we are out running Monday night errands. It is good to hear someone like yourself who actually has convictions and educated opinions, even though we agree and disagree with you at times. Keep it up. Well, thank you, Lisa, for your dual authoring effort with you and your significant other. Second email. This is from Mark of apparently no fixed address. Mark says, hey, dude, you're a knob. Note that you're, which should have been Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, was spelled Y-O-U-R, and knob was spelled N-O-B as opposed to K-N-O-B. That being said, I have to say that I feel sorry for Mark. He submitted an email totaling 5 words, of which 2 were misspelled. That's a 40% margin of error. However, with luck, Mark will send in further correspondence, and we, the fortunate recipients of such pearls of wisdom, will gain greater insight into the psyche of a mental giant. Like I said, I've only got a half an hour, though, and I've got a big, juicy interview to get to, so let's get down to that. I recently had the pleasure of sitting down with Jackie and Deb, two very fine ladies representing the Addictive Tattoo Studio in downtown London, which was a conversation involving cool people about a cool place. And you shall be privy to the discourse in question right about now. Let's get to it. Enjoy. I am now joined by Deb and Jackie of Addictive Tattooing here in downtown London. Thanks very much for being here today, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The tattoo industry, obviously, is something that's pretty prevalent in the media nowadays, pretty popular. A lot of people getting tattoos, getting piercings. Addictive does both, correct?
We do.
Do you both tattooing and piercing? And Jackie, you do piercing just or tattooing and piercing?
I don't tattoo.
So you do just piercing?
I do just piercing.
And Deb, of course, you are the tattoo artist.
That's right.
Or a tattoo artist. Yeah. But the industry itself dates back, obviously, you know, millennia, all parts of the world. There's various forms of body modification and tattooing and things like that. But how long has Addictive been going now, and how did you guys kind of start it? I guess, Jackie, that would be a question for you.
We opened Addictive in May of 1996, so we are entering our 12th year?
Yeah, I guess that would be, right, 12.
Yeah. Jay just had a dream.
And Jay is your significant
Jay
other.
Jay is my significant other and the owner. Co-owner of Addictive Tattooing. He had the name Addictive Tattooing for many, many years before Addictive Tattooing existed.
And, I mean, you guys have been written up in numerous newspaper articles and things like that over the years, commending the service and the level of quality and stuff like that. Actually, the Western Zone Gazette actually wrote an article about you guys in 2003, I believe it was, saying that Addictive was the best tattoo and piercing studio in the London area or greater London area, which I thought was pretty cool. So that's we're just further affirming that now in 2008. 5 years later, you guys have still got it going on. Given all the years that you guys have been involved, I guess this is a question for either of you, ladies, Deb or Jackie, maybe more so Deb. What should someone consider before choosing a tattoo, before choosing a tattoo artist, before choosing a tattoo studio? Like, what kind of things should a person look for?
You should definitely look at portfolios, make sure that the artist has the style that you want, that would be best for the tattoo that you want. It's great to bring in reference material so the artist can understand what direction you want to go.
So if you have a tattoo of, a dragon that you want, say bring in a picture or something like that, this is kind of what I want?
Yeah, even if you brought in like 3 or 4 different pictures, like you like the head of this dragon and the wings of that dragon or something like that, you know, the artist can put it together for you.
If I can add to that?
Yeah, absolutely.
When you're looking at a portfolio, for a lot of people that don't have tattoos yet, they're not really sure what they're looking for in a portfolio. You know, sometimes they get a little caught up with what they're looking for and forget to look at the actual work of the artist. So when you're looking at tattoo portfolios, what you're looking for are nice clean lines, nice solid color in the tattoos, not as much as, you know, something that personally appeals to you is that the quality of the work is where it should be. Those are just other hints for people that don't have tattoos, that don't really know what to look for.
Or maybe even for those that have tattoos but want to improve upon what they've already got, or have a piece touched up or something like that. Another thing with tattooing, just like any form of fashion, there seems to be like trends and fads that emerge, you know, from one time to another. In your time in the industry, or Deb as well, do you find the styles change? Like, is there like a common thread, like from one year to the next, somebody will come in and like they'll have a bunch of people want to get like a whatever, you know, like a certain cartoon character tattooed, or a bunch of people want to get a certain sports team logo tattooed, or
area of their body.
Yeah, or exactly, or a certain area. Like, I know that common among, say, young women is like the lower back. You know, a lot of women between whatever 18 and 35 will say, I'm just throwing out a ballpark number there, but we'll have like, say, a lower back tattoo if they have a tattoo. Just seems to be a common thread or a common trend. Do you notice that, like trends that change from year to year, or?
Yeah, I do actually. When I first started into tattooing, it was a lot of Taz,
Tasmania. Oh, from the Looney Tunes. Yeah.
And
really?
The tribal armbands.
Yeah, the tribal armbands.
I mean, those are all nice, but you definitely do see a trend sort of as to the styles that people choose. All the tattoo TV shows, it helps people to begin to use their own imagination and are getting more individual tattoos as opposed to following a set trend. As far as styles go,
totally agree.
And what do you guys think of the both of your opinions, I guess, of like the shows like Miami Ink and LA Ink and London Ink? Like, what do you guys think of those shows? Are they good, bad, or otherwise? Are they?
It definitely has its positive and its negative side. I mean, with the exposure that it's getting, it's educating the general public as to what they should be looking for and the quality of work that they should expect to receive. That's the positive side. In my opinion, on the negative side, I think maybe some people are getting tattooed these days who may not have made that decision had it not been brought so much to the mainstream.
Through media influence.
Yeah, I think tattooing is taken, and not in all cases, definitely. I mean, in maybe a small percentage of people, they're not comprehending that it's a permanent choice.
Like a lifelong decision.
Yeah, a lifelong decision.
Right.
So might be a good idea to get a laser machine in 10 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Along the same lines, actually, now that you mentioned the laser stuff like that, and this is something I think Deb might know a bit about. Like you say, with tattooing comes the lifetime commitment, and I think that some people maybe get tattooed and they're not quite prepared for it, especially if they get a tattoo, you know, earlier on in life, or something that's maybe trendy, like you just said, or like a fad type thing that they see on TV or that their friends are all getting. Because of the fact that the tattoo removal process is so expensive and so painful, do you think this will impact the tattoo industry negatively or positively, or the fact that people can now have a tattoo removed? Do you think people look at it from the standpoint, well, I'm going to go out and get a nice big $500 tattoo, and 10 years from now, if I don't like it, I'm just going to get it burned off?
I don't know about that, because I've heard that it is quite a painful process, that it's actually more painful than getting the actual tattoo, but hard to say.
I don't know. I also think, too, that at least in our studio, if if someone is a little bit apprehensive, we usually tell them to take some time and maybe think about it. You know, is it something that we can have removed? We generally say then, you know, if you are considering removing it, or can you remove it? It might not be a good decision for you.
Because, yeah, I guess ultimately the answer is yes, but through the time, expense, and, difficulty of going through it, it's, not the most feasible option.
No, but I mean, if you give it 10 years, like everything else, you know, I'm sure it will be more affordable. The more people who are requesting the service, it should, in theory, reduce in value.
Yeah, I suppose so.
It should.
Like laser eye surgery kind of thing has gone down.
It's getting more affordable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the laser surgery that I've seen done these days is amazing. And I think it's wonderful that it's available for people who have poor quality tattoos. Or, you know, maybe a poor choice of the design that they've chosen. So it's awesome that it's available for them. But I think over the next 10 years, we'll see more and more of it being available. If it is something that you're considering doing, like your tattoo artist, you also must find a laser surgeon that's of good quality. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Got to do your homework. You know, here's a question for Deb. In your experience, can you tell the listeners about some of the funny or ridiculous requests you've had as far as you know, tattoos, as far as maybe it was a ridiculous location anatomically speaking, or maybe it was the actual tattoo design itself was ridiculous, or, you know, do you have any funny stories about the, you know, no crybabies allowed kind of thing? Anybody that you know, freaked right out or passed out, or in your experience, is that something you encounter very often?
You get the odd person that has a hard time dealing with it, but if they want the tattoo back, enough, they'll stick it out. As far as funny tattoos, I did do your name on somebody's butt. So, like, it was actually like your name.
I thought you meant my name.
No.
Like, wow. I knew that my star was on the rise, but I didn't think it had, you know, quite grown exponentially to that degree. But wow, people are getting my name tattooed on their ass. That's pretty cool. What was her name? I'm sorry.
The word.
Your name.
Yeah, so I imagine he's making a lot of money at the bars right now saying,
I've got your name tattooed on my backside. Oh, yeah. Really? Prove it. There you go. Now, where's my drink? That's awesome. What, any other ones come to mind right off the bat? Or?
For the most part, people are pretty serious about their tattoo.
The other day, though, that JP did this golden spoon on his butt.
Oh, that's right.
I know what the significance of that was.
I don't know. What was his story?
He lost a bet. That's all I know.
He lost a bet.
So a guy lost a bet and he got what tattooed?
A golden spoon on his butt.
Like a spoon you eat with.
Yes,
a golden spoon on his backside.
I don't know. I don't want to know. But I know he lost a bet. And it was his first tattoo.
It was his first tattoo. Well, that's permanent reminder of why gambling is a problem in Ontario. Jeez, that's terrible. And it's funny, actually, because you say tattoos being permanent, the body art itself reminds you of the day or the place you got it done, or it's actually a very, very nostalgic experience, I guess you could say.
Yeah, but I'm a collector, so, you know, I've traveled as far as England, and great reminders of, you know, that part of my life. So, yeah, it's awesome.
Now, same question. Do you ever get really bizarre requests as far as piercing, or what are some of the maybe anatomical locales that people may get pierced that listeners might be a little bit surprised to hear about? I mean, there's always the traditional earring, maybe lip ring, nose ring, but what are some of the maybe less common ones that you would hear about in the media that people get? Is there anything, you know, that you won't tattoo, or pardon me, that you won't pierce?
There are. I mean, with piercing, people feel the need to have something that's unusual, or, you know, that is not done so often. So you do get some requests that, in theory, and that, you know, in my opinion as a piercer, in theory, aren't going to work. You can't pierce everything and everywhere on the body. Although there's, you know, surface piercing has enabled us to do a lot of things that we couldn't really do before successfully.
Right.
There's not every area of the body is suitable for surface piercing. So, I don't know, I guess as far as the most unusual or some of the odder requests, I had someone recently ask me to pierce a pentagram on their forehead, the beads in the shape of a pentagram.
On their forehead?
On their forehead. I've done a corset piercing down the back, which was beautiful.
Oh, okay, yeah, like the crisscross, like lace.
Yeah, we did it in pieces. She got married last year, and we did the top half. Her wedding dress came down quite low, I guess, and she wanted to be able to lace it. And we just completed it about maybe 3 months ago. We did the bottom half. So, and those successfully healed for her.
Yeah. Oh, always good to speak to your credit that they healed. And
Well, I mean, those are difficult to heal anyway.
Yeah,
so
no, I understand.
Yeah, it's, I was quite happy to see that they healed for her.
Perfectly on topic there, what's something that maybe, again, people who want to come out and get a tattoo, or they've been thinking about it, they've got the idea rolling around in their head, what are some of the common myths and stuff like that as far as like the health inspection and stuff like that? I mean, like, I know you guys are legislated by law to be inspected by the health board or whatever, but I know I've heard ridiculous things, you know, like, well, I wouldn't get a tattoo because I could contract AIDS, or I could, you know, I'm going to get hepatitis. And I mean, yeah, of course, there's always that one in a billion chance. But it's like, realistically, what can you guys speak to, both of you, from your experience as far as the safety, how you guys are regulated?
I think with the year 2008, I think it's safe to say that any studio that is a public studio is a clean place to go. The health boards wouldn't allow them to even be opened if they didn't meet certain regulations. So I think as far as, you know, transmitting, there's things that you obviously need to look for when you go into a studio.
Yeah.
Because they know how to sterilize something doesn't mean that they know how to follow safety standards or, you know, understand cross-contamination and bloodborne pathogens and stuff like that. So when you go into a studio, you definitely want to make sure that they have an autoclave, which almost guaranteed they will have. They should also be able to provide you with spore testing of the machine. Mm. And that means that they test that machine every 30 days to make sure that it's in fact killing the things that it's supposed to kill. So you have the right to ask for those results.
Of course.
You want to make sure that all the operators are in fact wearing, in the case of tattooists, nitrile gloves or some kind of make sure that all their equipment is bagged and, stuff like that.
Deb, just something maybe you can speak to. You yourself, of course, being a tattoo artist and having done, obviously, many, many tattoos, you, of course, use a brand new needle every single time, correct?
Wouldn't have it any other way. Yeah.
So, I mean, the fact that, when you do a tattoo, right in front of the person being tattooed, you open up the needle, it's brand new, it's out of a sterile package.
Yeah, I like doing that. Just to,
exactly.
If you see it coming out of the package, it's pretty hard to
dispute the fact that, that it's sterile.
I want to add to that, people who might be, going to a friend who does it out of their home or a friend of a friend who does it out of their home.
Yeah.
Just because they come out of those packages does not mean that they're sterilized. So if you are going to someone's home, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing to do. I'm just saying that, if you are, you still need to make sure that this is safe. So if you flip those packages over, there's indicators on the back of them that will state whether the item in the package is in fact sterilized. If you're going to go to somebody's home or a studio that's not public, check those things and also ask them if they do have an autoclave in their home.
Very good things to keep in mind. Just on a more personal note, I could ask both of you, if that's all right, if you don't mind sharing, that is. How old were each of you the first time you got a tattoo, and what was it of, if you don't mind sharing?
My first tattoo was when I was 18, and it was an anklet. It was a tattoo for me and my sister, actually, and it was just a bonding thing for the two of us. And the actual artwork's from Aubrey Beardsley, like 1920s artist.
Jackie, what about yourself?
I was at the tender age of 30.
Really?
Yeah, I was 30.
Nothing done until you were 30?
Nothing, no. Huh. I'd considered it.
And you're only 31 now?
Plus a decade or so.
Yeah, that's okay.
I was a slow starter, but moved quick. But instantly fell in love with the art and my artist, in fact.
Slow starter, Jay works fast, and falls in love quickly.
Jay was my, Jay did my first tattoo, and 13 years later, here we are.
Yeah, so, well, there you go.
It was a unity symbol. Aesthetically not very pleasing, but at the time I was blind to what was available, had no artistic eye, and,
So if you don't mind, if it's not too personal, where did you get it on the body?
On my body is on one of my hips.
On one of your hips.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Deb, yours was on your ankle, yours was on your hip.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Both seem to be fairly feminine, fairly delicate, aesthetically pleasing locations. Didn't get a forehead tattoo or anything like that, or the big Mike Tyson like facial piece. Like,
that's
I think that takes a serious level of commitment. Like we said, you guys have been in business for 12 years roughly now, so quite a while. Very reputable in southwestern Ontario. I'd say you get, from what I've learned from other people who are tattooed, they've either been to Addictive or they've heard of Addictive, and the reputation precedes itself in a positive manner, of course, which is good. Image being positive, is that because, do you think, obviously the health inspections, health regulations, but the age restrictions? I think you said you were 18. You have to be 18, is it not the case, to get a tattoo without parental consent?
Okay. Morally. It's not a set law. Most studios have it their law, though. we try really hard to stick by that, even with parental consent. I think some things should be reserved for 18 and over.
Yeah.
Just because your mom says you can go to the liquor store at 16 doesn't mean you can. So.
Good call.
I don't know. And because it is such a permanent commitment, we like them to be at least 18. And I think most studios are the same way.
So even if a person, say, 16 or 17 comes in and, you know, they've somehow twisted mom and dad's rubber arm to sign a note, you'd still personally prefer they be 18 or over?
Yeah. I mean, in some situations, it's you have to take each situation individually.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's a really personal family experience that they want to share. I mean, but definitely not under 16. Definitely not.
Yeah.
And rarely that young.
For Deb, do you find that some people in your experience are more talkative than others? Or some people kind of very stoic and just, you know, zone right out? And is there ever like a level of awkwardness? Because, I mean, obviously a tattoo, even a small piece, can take upwards of an hour. I mean, you know, sometimes 2, 3, maybe even 4 hours, you know. For a sitting. Do you find that some people just kind of sit there and space out and they're very... silent, or other people are overly talkative, or
that's one of the interesting things about being a tattoo artist is you get all different types of people.
Mm-hmm.
You get people that like all they want to do is talk, and you get people who just want to be quiet. They don't want to hear your voice at all. They just want to get tattooed, and that's it.
Really?
You know what I mean? And that's cool. You know,
mm-hmm.
As long as they're happy with their tattoo and they enjoyed the experience, I'm happy.
Well, of course. So. I mean, the end result and the permanent mark is the tattoo, and as long as the quality of workmanship is good and they're happy and you're happy as far as the business transaction goes, then that's the main thing. But do you find that as an artist it makes it kind of awkward for you when you're, you know, sitting there with a bent back for 2 or 3 hours doing something that obviously requires a great deal of attention and to detail? If a person is, like, absolutely silent, isn't that a little, you know, off?
Well, see, I'm a pretty quiet person myself. I've lost what I'm going to say.
I mean, I don't tattoo, but I think... now I forget, too. I totally do. I think... I just do piercing physically here, but, I mean, I have a lot of years of experience of watching people get tattooed,
mm-hmm.
and watching the artist's work, so I can sort of give my opinion on both the tattooing and the piercing
side of it. By all means.
For a piercing experience, it's a very different experience than a tattoo. It's a very... The procedure itself is very, very quick, like 5 seconds.
Right.
But the whole leading up to it, mm-hmm. because I spend about 20 minutes with a client prior to the piercing, you see a lot of different things. You see people that are very, very silent, and I'm sure that you sound like Charlie Brown's teacher to them because they just want to do it. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, when... Doing the piercing is only half the job. They need to look after it. But I'm getting off topic. But, yeah, you do see a lot of different things.
Really?
A lot of silent people or people that have a million questions.
Yeah.
As far as tattooing goes, I think from the artist's point of view, when they're doing a big tattoo, it's okay if it's silent because they're busy in their head too. You know?
True.
They've got a huge responsibility of producing a lifelong piece of artwork.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if it's quiet... I think that's okay, too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
In fact, I think some of the artists might... I mean, you know, you want the client to be comfortable, too, but a lot of chatter is difficult for them.
One other thing I wanted to mention before we run out of time here is we mentioned age restrictions as far as being, I guess, up to the artist or up to the studio itself, restrictions based on content or whatever else. Like, there's certain things, I imagine, Deb, that you would not tattoo on somebody, say, if they requested something that was, say, like gang-related or racially motivated or... Like,
yeah, you kind of have to use your judgment. I mean, obviously, if, like, a 16-year-old person comes in and they want, like, a huge gang tattoo on their neck, that's probably not the best thing to tattoo.
Is that something that's happened?
Yeah.
Just, it seemed like you were speaking from experience there.
Yeah.
That was just a really, really quick and tangible example to pull out of your back pocket kind of thing. So you've had situations like that where you've maybe turned somebody away on your better judgment.
Yeah, like there's things that I'm not comfortable tattooing. Like if somebody wants something hate-related, I'm personally not comfortable tattooing that.
Right.
Because tattooing's about being positive, not about being negative or, you know, like when you get a tattoo, it changes your life.
I know where she's
at. Well, the thing is, too, sorry to cut you off there, Jackie, I guess maybe what you're trying to say, if I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it's a personal experience, right? And you have a certain degree or percentage of personal connection to that tattoo, being the artist who did it. So if I wanted to get some, white supremacy tattoo down the length of my arm, you know,
And then and she would not do that. Jackie's a smartass. But I can see what Deb's saying, because if I, you know, I'm out on the basketball court in my shirt without shirt sleeves on, you know, and some guy says, oh, hey, where'd you get that done? Oh, Deb at Addictive. Yeah, she'll. And they're thinking, geez, that's the kind of work they do. I don't want to go there.
Yeah, actually, you know? Yeah, that's a good point. That's what I was trying to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to put words in your mouth, but I think that's the path you were heading down. Yeah.
There's no obligation for the artist, you know.
Exactly.
We have our own morals, and we need to sleep at night and feel good about what we've done.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, and I here at Addictive, I don't, if she's not comfortable doing it, I'm not going to say, Debbie, you have to do it.
Of course not.
You know?
Well, especially, I mean, if it's over, you know, a couple of $100, yeah. Is it worth, you know, selling your soul for that kind of money or ruining your image? Or
whatever you're, you know, they're comfortable yeah. with.
And you, have you ever guys, have you hit on?
Yes.
I'm glad you know what I was talking about, because I have no idea. I just completely tripped over my words. What I meant to say was, I guess another situation you would turn somebody away is if they're intoxicated or something like that. Like, you don't...
No, usually if we have someone come in and they do smell like alcohol, we usually suggest that they maybe come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we give them a card and say, you know, if you want to come back tomorrow, we'd be happy to give you $10 off. It's not a good choice for us to tattoo you if you've been drinking.
Yeah.
We don't know how much you've had.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't know that you're making a sound decision. And alcohol does thin your blood, so it makes tattooing more difficult. The blood is pushing the ink out as the artist is trying to put it in. So we usually give them a card for $10 off and ask them to come back the next day.
So essentially what you're saying is that if I decide to get more tattoo work done, of
course...
Come
drunk the day before.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly it. I think that about a fifth of gin and, you know, and... And get a referral from you to Deb, and that'd be great. So I'll make sure that's... Well, I mean, really, folks, $10 and a hangover, it doesn't get any better than that. You can't buy humor like this for a nickel anymore, I tell you that much. Well, ladies, I greatly appreciate you both being here and for doing this interview. It was a pleasure, and hopefully we've shed some light on some of the myths and the disbeliefs and the incorrect beliefs and... The wisdom of the tattoo industry. If people are interested in getting in touch with either of you, or in touch with Addictive itself, now that the CHRW and the Gazette have both endorsed the fine handiwork and craftsmanship here, what's the best way to get in touch with you guys? Is there a website or the telephone? Or
we do have a website, but it doesn't have all the artist's work on it.
Okay.
Can I give a shout for the website?
Absolutely. I'm encouraging you to do
www.addictivetattooing.com.
Okay.
There's also an email address on that website that you can contact us through, which is a really good way to contact us. We try really hard to return those emails within a 24-hour period. If you do not get a reply within 24 hours, please call the shop. Quite possible that I've killed my computer.
Okay.
And our phone number here is 519-679-1456. And we are located at 181 Dundas Street, above a store called It's Fun on the second level. I would genuinely like to thank the university students for all of their support over the years. They're wonderful. And we love you guys, so please keep coming back.
Cool. Well, again, thank you both very much. I appreciate you doing the interview.
You're awesome.
My sincere thanks again to Deb and Jackie for that interview. That was fun to do, and I appreciate the warm and welcoming reception they gave me into the Addictive Tattoo Studio, and I got to see a little more behind the scenes than I had in previous ventures. That being said, I'm out of time, but remember, you can catch me, August Donnelly, right here on CHRW 94.9 FM every other Monday night at 7:30 post-meridian. In the meantime, if you have questions, comments, or lewd material that you want to share, email me at august@chrwradio.com or visit my official site for all the things I can't share elsewhere. That's www.augustdonnelly.com. Until next time, remember, I'm August Donnelly, and you're not.